Ladies and gentlemen, we are back!
Jesus.
No, unfortunately, Jesus is not here. However, once again, here we are in the Beef, Wine, Shenanigans Emporium, located in picturesque Crown Heights, Brooklyn! And joining me, as always, are...
Kirk Johnson.
And...
Mark Abbott.
With the drunk asses! And still, somehow we haven't managed to scare this man away. My man!
Cameron Robinson!
Also known as Rob Cameron. I lost the accent.
Was that Rob, Ron, kind of, Camerson?
You kind of fucked that up. But, hey!
Cameron Robinson, also known as Rob Cameron.
Nicely done. There you go. You already cleaned it up. Thank you. Very good. All right. So, for those of you who missed episode 29 that literally happened a half an hour ago, we decided we're going to do episode 30 right now, which, of course, you know, doesn't mean that you didn't listen to episode 29 10 days ago and now listening to episode 30. But what, you know what? You do what you got to do. The main thing is that you're just tuning in. So now that that's out of the way.
What the fuck? Foul!
15 yards, first down, replay first.
Wow!
Whatever. Anyway, so, Cam, why don't you, once again, since you're here, why don't you talk about what you've got going on? Please.
Brooklyn Speculative Fiction.
You ain't Cam.
I'm sorry. Fuck around, man. You kill the teleprompter on your ass. Damn.
He didn't say you ain't Cam. He said, nigga, you ain't Cam.
He did say that.
I'm sorry.
Damn, the N-word gets dropped a lot out here.
I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
I blame it on the coconut. Not in the wine or on the beef.
Oh my god. Mark's running away. Mark's running
away. Mark's laying on the floor playing with the cat. He's like, fuck y'all.
And then he lost the cat. He lost the cat.
This bow fell in half.
I'm supposed to be over here above my black cat.
Okay, sorry.
For the next 10 seconds.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay, so my name is Cameron Roberson, and I am a lead organizer for Brooklyn Speculative Fiction Writers, one of the largest, most active writing groups in Brooklyn for speculative fiction particularly. And we're doing a Kickstarter for season 2 of our podcast, Kaleidocast NYC. That's KaleidoCast.nyc. And one of our bread and butter prizes, our backer prizes for this year's our backer rewards, is a shared story, which means that we have these 15 authors all going to contribute to one story. Now, I'm going to name the authors here, and I'm sure you're going to find some people that you know. J.M. Plumbley, Barbara Krasnoff, Nebula Award winner, Bradley Robert Parks, C.S.C. Cooney, Carlos Hernandez, Danielle Friedman, Evan Burko, Fran Wild, Lila Wild, Mike Allen, N.K. Jemison, Fenderson, D. Clark, myself, Shan Chakraborty, and Ted Rabinowitz. I'm sure if you are fans of the Beef and Wine Shenanigans, at least two of those names would be familiar with, N.K. Jemison and Fenderson, Kelly Clark, who definitely, if you are, we're going to talk about Game of Thrones, I think, a little bit later on tonight. He has this amazing blog where he pulls together all the important information from the previous episode. But we were all working together on a story, which is called It Started in Red Hood. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a little bit nuts. It's going to be funny. But it's going to be a back prize for anybody at the $25 level and up. So please, we'll talk about it just briefly at the end of today's show. If the wine has not gotten to us by that point, or the rum, the coconut rum, but I will definitely be reminding you guys about that. So thank you.
I think you're the only one drinking the coconut rum there.
Well, let me go get some more.
No, you're good. Some of us have shit to do tomorrow. Anyway, thank you for that, and thank you for being here. Because you know, sure that 5-minute bike ride from your place to here was very taxing.
Yeah, definitely. I can, and I've cased your place, so I know which windows are.
Well, thanks for coming, Rob, Ron, Camerson.
Yeah. We didn't necessarily know you were leaving.
Rob. Pull up beyond.
Damn. Anyway. I mean.
Wow.
Jesus.
Not here.
I told you. He's not here. All right. I mean, we couldn't fill his rider. Anyway.
He's a little tired.
So we were touching on Game of Thrones when we ended the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got caught up googling over Melisandre before we actually like got into anything deep.
Grey Worm's Night Shoulders. Yes.
Right.
We can get deeper into Melisandre's ass if you want to.
That's
it's a kid's show.
That's an Axel Prawn I wanna say parody porn.
Oh yeah.
That I'm sure he's working on right now, and they'll be voting on it for
the Adult Awards,
the AVN Awards in Vegas next year.
Right.
Hosted by Ron Jeremy.
Right. Special guest, Jackme. Janet Jackme. Yeah, special
Janet
guest.
Jackme.
She's retired, isn't she?
She might. Well, you know, depending on.
No, I mean, not that I know who you're talking about.
I'm just saying. Going as adults. Depending on the writer, she might come through.
She might come through.
So about Wikipedia. That's all I know. Wikipedia.
Yeah, sure.
Shit, I know her.
Dickipedia.
Wow. That is Sully. And now you are Sully.
He's been Sully.
You Sully. Yeah.
He's been Sully.
It's been the rum.
It's been the rum. Blame it on...
He's rummy.
I'm sorry, go ahead. You were saying about the...
He was rummy.
The second episode,
I think. Let's talk... Because you guys, before we actually hit record, you guys were throwing about 90 different theories about how...
that nigga Varys is a mermaid?
No, well, there's that. But the ambush...
Oh.
The high seas ambush that really was kind of a downer for anybody who is rooting for the quote unquote good guys. Mm. That was ugly.
That was a bummer, dude.
Yeah.
Martell
so,
got spanked.
Yeah. That's one way of putting it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Theon went overboard.
Theon pulled the Natalie Wood.
Whoa! Damn!
Wow, that's...
He came from way back. Wait, that was a... Whoa!
An Atlee Wood?
A Natalie Wood. That's a telegraph. You ain't know about Natalie Wood, bro? Mm-hmm. She fell off a boat. And some people think that this cat... What's his name? This old actor threw her off the boat.
Ooh.
They never found her body. What's his name? Wagner. Richard...
Robert Wagner
was there.
A Rob.
Yes, a Rob. Not a, yes.
You gotta watch those motherfuckers.
I do. Better kill them all when you see one. Rob,
yeah,
what?
Probably.
Hey, wait. Yeah. Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm. You know, Rob,
I told himself.
Stay away from some Natalie.
Yo, I'm out of star. I need some kind of narrative protection here.
Narrative protection?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get right on that. Anyway.
It's not in the writer.
Theon jumped ship.
Yes.
With the uncle.
He did an Adam.
Asshole.
Euron Greyjoy.
A.K.A. the bass player from Coldplay.
Yes.
Who
AKA
apparently
a
can
young
fight.
Malcolm McDowell?
Yeah.
A young Malcolm McDowell?
Yeah. A.K.A. Mumford and Sons.
Yes.
On the high seas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most movies or shows, you would know, oh, that guy's going to die. He's going to die bad in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You don't know.
You don't know.
You
might actually make it to the end.
We did find out what that protrusion on the boat was, because I remember we were arguing about that at Mark's when we were watching that first episode. Like, first of all, well, two things we were arguing about when we watched the season premiere were, what the fuck is that thing in front of the boat?
Okay.
And why is it there? Now, I think I said it was an anchor or something like that.
Oh,
so I was wrong. It wasn't a battering ram or an anchor. It was this fucking...
Boarding clamp.
It was a boarding clamp.
Yes.
With, like, what?
Well, is that the same?
How historic is that? I mean, I don't know anything about
it. Well, the orcs used it in...
Did it? Did you say orcs?
in Lord of the Rings worked very effectively at Helm's Deep and at Minas Tirith. So I guess somebody.
Three glasses was that?
So what you're saying is it's canon.
So apparently somebody was doing their homework when they built those ships.
Oh my!
And the orcs.
You're awesome, yeah. Dude. There's some historical precedence with that, though. There is some historical precedence.
Oh shit!
So this. So wait. So oh wow, that's deep.
Sauron's people.
So Westeros. What you're saying is the same world as Lord of the Rings. So there are elves and orcs.
It might be Left Earth.
Yeah. Because they got a Twitter account.
Middle Earth.
They're not part of Middle Earth. Left Earth. So that's why you got to go. Go left.
That's why you have maesters instead of wizards. Is that what
you're? There it is.
You gotta go west.
There it is.
West.
Damn.
Well, they'd have to be east because the elves go into the west, and they don't.
True.
Wait,
they don't go to Westeros.
That literally explains the other half of Essos, where niggas don't show up. Nobody goes to the other half of Essos because all the elves left there. Because if you keep going west of Westeros, you'll eventually hit Essos, but on the east coast of Essos. Oh, fuck it, man. You're too drunk to be doing this shit. Go on. Yo, you gotta see
so these pretty,
people.
So
yo, these,
pretty.
Yo, these
so,
dudes got the face like, I did something
so
really
Essos,
bad.
So Essos.
You went full nerd.
I'm just saying, man.
So Essos is Watts, is what you're telling us.
Right, Essos is Watts.
Okay.
There's a werewolf there.
There's a werewolf in Essos.
There's a werewolf in Essos.
Werewolf of Essos.
Werewolf of Essos.
You, God damn it. Moving on. Yes, there is historical precedence to boarding ramps on ships.
And werewolves are involved.
And no werewolves or orcs are involved. Romans were involved.
Oh, okay.
And Greeks.
Wait, for what battle was this?
I want to say, actually, I think they used this in the Punic Wars when they learned how to build Carthaginian ships. And because the Romans don't know how to fight on water, they figured, oh, shit, you know what? If we build a plank to connect two ships, that shit is like a land battle anyway. I sound like Hannibal Buress doing that shit. It's Hannibal Buress.
Message.
A little bit.
But that's how they rocked. They said, you know what? We can't really fight like that on water like that. But we got the planks rolling like that. We can actually do formation like we do on land.
Yeah.
We took that shit over.
Ah.
Yeah.
It says some of the motherfuckers beat the Carthaginians twice. They won the war twice. That says some shit.
Carthaginians didn't learn their lesson.
Too many Trumps is on the council.
Oh! Heyo!
Heyo, low blow! But fuck that.
That is a multi-purpose bell.
Yes, it is.
But back to Game of Thrones and the final...
And making Westeros great again.
Making Westeros great again. Cersei is a... She didn't do much of anything, really, this episode, right? Well, she scared the... She did a Trump on the nobles.
That's what I'm saying.
She did a Trump on the nobles. You're right, yes.
That's what I'm saying. She said, the Mexicans are coming and we need to build...
She did?
No. She was more like...
She
basically
did. And Jamie was like a Pence, right?
We need to invade Mexico, is what she was saying.
Right.
And Jamie was the Pence, right?
And Jamie was Pence.
Like, look, dude, if you hook up with us, you know, we can give you the Tyrell title and be warden of... the West.
All you gotta do is protect your family, you know.
Right. And Tarly's dad was like, I don't know, nigga. That's how he looked at him. He gave him that look like, you really gonna have me just turn on people like that, nigga? He had that look.
It's like a punctuation. The sentence isn't complete without it.
White folks, you can't say it, but that look on his face is literally the look that other black people give other black people that don't want to say that word.
Right.
It's like, really? You want to do this to me?
When he raises his eyebrow, that means...
Yes. Bigger. Yes. That was... I'm sorry.
Yes. It was that look.
But that was the look.
Well, to give white folks that are listening the proper context, you know when y'all get in your feelings and y'all say some crazy shit to us at work that you wouldn't say to us in the street? And we look at y'all a certain way? Yeah, that's the look.
And that's Tarly dad. That's Daddy Tarly's look.
Yeah. And generally, what we say is, what you say is, oh, you know, I'm sorry about that. But then Charlie's like, interesting.
Right.
Let me talk about that.
Interesting. Grayscale.
How about that?
The remedy for grayscale.
So this is interesting because now you're definitely getting the shit that has not been talked about in the book.
Right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Mark?
that's some nasty shit, man. That, like, when... before he even started to do that maneuver, I took a glimpse. Like, they had the book open wide enough that you could get a glimpse of what he was about to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're about to flail this man's skin.
Mm-hmm.
Not once. Not three times. Because first you got to flail it to get the grayscale off. Then you got to flail it again to get
the
infection.
You say flailed. I'm thinking of the whip, then.
Fillet. I'm sorry. I'm saying flail.
Wine.
It's fillet,
scalp?
Yeah. No, fillet. Fillet.
No, fillet. Because it's like literally he's like
just cutting
fillet.
So with a knife that's not sharp enough really to do a true fillet.
And let's be honest. I mean, really? That you don't have any more stronger liquor than that? To get somebody like you needed like some really hardcore shit to knock him the hell out.
I was thinking like you started. He started with that.
It's ripple, dummy.
Too early. It's like he took a little sip.
Like, yeah, he's like, here, take a sip. Put this in. Put this bit in your mouth.
And then I'm gonna.
Well, it's only an hour show, guys.
And really, shut the hell up.
Trying to do. Yeah.
Look, listen. The berries can go from content to kind of like a fucking mermaid. They can.
That's because he's a mermaid.
He's a mermaid.
Under the sea,
Pirate.
Poor Jorah.
You can get a bigger knife than that. I mean, damn. Jorah.
Well, he's seen that. Well, you know what? Sam's the only one who's willing to do it. Everybody else is like, and come on, let's be honest. That bullshit excuse. Well, why don't you guys do it? Well, the guy who did it died. Well, you know why he died? Because y'all niggas won't do it. He did it for other people, but nobody was going to do it for him.
But when I watched that scene, I couldn't help but remember the scene from the first Batman when the Joker was in that surgery room and the doctor says, well, you see what I have to work with. He shows all the tools.
Like, oh, right, right.
I was like, ooh, yeah. So this is definitely undercover brother of the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here speaking of that scene and all the Maester stuff lately.
Yeah.
Has anybody noticed how well fucking groomed Sam is now?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's that about?
He
like,
takes care of him, dog.
Like, he's got some serious pomade and shit.
Gilly's a ride or die. You know that, right? Gilly's ride or die.
So that's what it is.
That's Gilly, what it is.
Gilly's like,
I can
straighten him out.
Well, I can explain this shit with a good friend of mine. A good friend of mine, he works in some dirty jobs, right?
Mm.
So he's always, you know, he's always wearing dirty clothes, torn clothes, because that's what he has to do to make sure he's not getting his shit fucked up when he's working. So when he's not working, he dresses up. He gets cleaned up.
Oh.
He gets nice.
Oh, okay.
So,
he's the guy who pulls out the shit from all the patients and whatnot. Like,
remember that scene?
Okay. Yeah. When he's not doing it.
Right. So it's kind of like, your friend who's a stripper, but then when she's out in the street, she's like in sweats.
Yes.
Or she looks like a librarian.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
A sexy librarian.
I think so anyway.
Hey, is that why you dress so nicely, Mark?
I don't even know why I come on this show. You know, they're just nights. I just don't even know why I even bother showing up here. And just
nights like this, I wish that raindrops would fall.
Raindrops falling because you dress so nicely, Mark.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger as Eddie Kane.
Oh shit! You went Eddie Kane on a nigga.
Oh my god!
I want to laugh at that joke, but I feel like I have to Google it.
Five heartbeats.
Yeah, what you were supposed to do then? What you were supposed to then say?
Raindrop would fall.
I'm sorry.
What you were supposed to do was that's true. Well, you know,
you're young. We can't expect you. Nah, man, you good. Don't worry. Black shows. Man.
Just still should have seen the fucking five heartbeats. But anyway,
I'm gonna Google that shit because now I feel ashamed.
But he saw 8 Mile, didn't he?
Yeah.
Sam, did you see 8 Mile? Did you see 8 Mile?
Oh, no, I did not see 8 Mile. I did not see 8 Mile. But I've seen that show before.
You two gonna be arguing about 8 Mile.
Yeah.
We're gonna be in the old folks' home. And you two motherfuckers are going to be like, that's right, nigga, 8 Mile.
I saw Moana, and I swear to God, if he was a little bigger, with a fish hook.
Hey, it's okay, it's okay. You're welcome. I'm gonna need that boat. Hey, it's okay, it's okay. You're welcome. I'm the thinking, yo, I gotta go.
Right,
you're welcome. You're welcome. And thank you.
Oh, ouch.
You call him Maui.
That's what
you
call
it. So Game of Thrones. I can't reach the bell.
There you go. Feel better now?
Okay, yes. All
right.
Sorry. Okay, yes.
So.
Maui.
Before that fucked up tangent, you guys had a whole bunch of, you guys had pulled the map up and all this other shit.
Oh, so, yes.
For the listeners, please explain how the ambush, how you guys think the ambush was executed.
Okay. Who wants to go with this?
Kurt, you got it, man.
Goddamn.
So
we got this thing. All right.
Black Popeye.
Dragonstone. Dragon.
Fuck you.
Maui got some talk words now. He ain't got his fish up. Maui don't need to switch shapes no more. He ain't no shapeshifter no more. He got words.
Yeah, I can fit this window
now. No, he can't.
As big as you.
Recording. Go look up the
bottom. Oh man! God damn it!
Oh my god!
Focus.
Your first.
All right. So we all figured out somebody had to have seen somebody coming through someplace. Dragonstone is north of King's Landing.
I feel like you explained that so much better in the hallway.
And I'll break it down because just outside of Dragonstone is Bywater Bay, which was supposed to be the battle.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If Euron's fleet is in Bywater Bay, somebody had to have seen, he had to have one ship out the perimeter that would have seen Daenerys' ship reach Dragonstone. Mm. At that point, and I can't help but think, it's a flat surface. If that one ship can see a fleet, somebody from the fleet can see that one ship.
Yeah, this motherfucker, he's a flat earther? That what's happened just now?
No, the horizon. If you see, it's ocean.
Wait.
It's
how
like
far
a plan.
Back are you pulling this theory?
No, I'm not pulling a theory. We're just trying to figure out how Euron was able to sneak up on.
So, okay.
How Euron was able to sneak up on Yara's ships without Yara seeing them. And the thing is, we need to find out. All right, we know that Yara is harbored in Dragonstone. Yes?
Right.
Do we know for sure that Euron's ships were harbored in King's Landing, in Bywater Bay?
I think what we talked about in the hallway was that
pull up to King's Landing.
Yeah, he never docked his entire fleet.
He didn't dock
at King's
Landing. Entire fleet. So the question pretty much was he always in wait in the Narrows by Dorne or by the Stormlands further south, waiting for them to come out, or did he sail around Dragonstone and follow?
Maybe he
them
had
out
a scout ship.
Yes, that's the other thing.
It could have been that he had a scout ship with a raven.
Right.
And the ravens alerted him to the fact that they were coming up that way, so he came around and
he got
came
around.
If he's hunting for her, he's looking for her.
Then he has to know they're there, though.
Yeah, he has to narrow down the possible place where they could be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from where Dragonstone is, they have to go north, don't they? They have to go north. So he's already in the middle. He just has to sit and wait.
Right.
And be in the right position. With a fleet as big as his, mm-hmm, all he has to do is have the right people, the right place, and not show his flag immediately. You can have one ship on,
yes,
far out enough where if you see somebody that looks like it could be an armada,
yeah,
there's only one other armada anywhere close to the size and the shape. And he knows their ships. Anybody,
yes,
on this team who knows, who's seen their ships, they're all from the Iron
Islands.
Which, to me, I wonder, well, hold on a second. How do they get fucked so easily, though? Because basically, they should have been the same kind of ships. He said it. Those are our best ships.
Yeah.
So,
he built the ships pretty quickly.
Yeah, time.
And they got to swing around.
Well,
apparently,
the ship he hit them with was huge.
Was his ship. I think it was his personal.
So.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
their version of the Imperial Destroyer.
Right.
So, like, when once they hit her, and not to mention they're shooting catapults of balls of fire,
yeah,
you know,
and they're caught. the pants down. Joe, if you go back to the book, you'll see that he had gone to old Valeria, remember?
Yeah.
And he had got some advanced tech,
mm-hmm.
Or ancient tech, and he had brought it back with him. So we haven't gotten to that part of the book to know what he had on his ship.
Well,
he brought back.
He was searching for the horn to control the dragons.
Oh, that's right.
That's the thing. He was not even supposed to be around. He was supposed to be still out by Essos searching for this horn in old Volantis.
But let's see, what else did he bring back? His old Valeria. That's like the ancient Greeks. You know, they had all this shit.
Well, they already had the ancient Greek shit. They had the green fire. That's
like
fire.
Like bits and pieces of lost history and tech, and everyone died in Westeros.
Man, that's crazy shit. I don't know, man. I just, you know what? Best question to ask. I'm curious: where did it actually all take place? What part of
where
the
Narrow
Sea? Did they get caught off the coast of the Stormlands? Because then that would answer a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Did it get caught close to the Dorne? You know, or did he come from behind, like you had mentioned?
Yeah.
If he had kept his ships up further off Stormland,
well,
away from them, had him stalked by.
He hit her from the side.
He hit her from the side.
So he wasn't coming from behind. Because that would take time for him to use the wind to come around.
So he came from the east. He hit her from the east.
So they were probably docked and just waiting, and then they just used the wind to their advantage.
Yeah. She was going south.
They make it so vague, it's really hard to tell.
Well, it looks like, yeah, he came from someplace off Essos, like Pentos.
But that's
he
really
made it
far.
Came out of Pentos.
That's really far away, though.
Pentos?
Pentos. That's the other side of the Narrow Sea.
Look.
How wide is the Narrow Sea? Is there a mileage? we're looking at a map right now.
We're looking at a map, and it really doesn't look, it's not really
but
very
no
far.
There's no scale. You can't tell. There's no scale, but... How far away that
look,
is.
Look, it's further away than Marine...
one of the things I was
further away than Stony
Island. While wondering was where was Dorne's army? Was Dorne's army on the ship?
No,
because I felt like they weren't.
No,
it was just the it was
the
just
they were just
work.
Dropping off the ladies.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, because that would have been a fairer fight. I think the Dorne army being on those boats, you know, with
the boats, the other
just the Sand Snakes. That's it.
And know what military? Were there any military on those boats?
They were all just the sailors following
Yara, I think.
Just sailors following Yara, right? Because they could pick up the Dornish and
right.
the Tyrells on the way to Casterly Rock.
Right.
So they had to have an empty ship so they go and they could pick these people up.
I hope you're all right. That really would have hurt my heart if Dorne got smashed like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that would.
I think it's just the ladies, and I think that's bad enough because that's the leadership.
Well, yeah, that's the entire. That's the kind.
And not to mention. You know, those fucking guys, you know, they pride themselves on being rapists and assholes.
Who?
Ironborn.
The Ironborn, yeah. That's, like, their thing. They're reavers.
Right. Sorry.
So, yeah, that's bad.
That's...
You're a woman being captured by them.
Makes me wonder how tricky people were that last scene. When what's her name? She says, just go ahead and kill us. And the guy just shakes his head and says, nope. That's not going to happen.
Nope.
But I know there are a whole lot of people who just stopped watching because of this, because of the rape scene with
Cersei's?
Not Cersei.
Sansa.
Sansa's. And I can understand that. I mean, it's one of those things where you look back and say, okay, what R.R. Martin is trying to do is he's taking bits and pieces from this point of history where war was like this.
And rape. Yes.
At the same time, the question of do you absolutely fundamentally see this? You know, it's what truth do you want to show?
Right.
What truth do you want to hide?
Right.
Really become progressive on this. I'm not decided on that yet, but I can see how people would say I don't want to see that. I don't want to watch it anymore.
No, it's. I mean.
Well, to that point, there is the story that the Game of Thrones showrunners, like the next thing they're doing,
ooh.
Is based on America if slavery. Hadn't been abolished.
Yeah, the Confederate.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, and you know what, I am a big supporter in teaching Americans American history.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Because I think that's one of the reasons that we, as a country, are as divided and in the position that we're in now.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's why. You know, it's like we can actually have World War II,
mm-hmm.
and then a few generations later,
they don't know.
it's okay to elect someone who's basically telling you he wants to be a fascist.
A fascist, right, right.
You know, and all of the other, you know, that is basically uncomfortable for black, brown, LGBTQ, mm-hmm. and women in general.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we have this problem with making people uncomfortable even when we shouldn't. Because what we should be doing is facing the truth.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I'm on the fence about this film. My general impression is I don't want anyone censored, but I also don't want to create a wall between them and the natural repercussions from deciding I'm going to tell a particular story. You know. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that there are definitely better choices. If it were me, and I'm trying to get this somehow to get this to the showrunners, don't do Confederate, do Octavia Butler's Parable of the Sword instead.
Right.
Because that one, mm-hmm. black people will be down to see that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it is her time. She's becoming a more and more often. It's her time. And people are paying more attention to her because Donald Trump decided to use Make America Great Again, which was also what Ronald Reagan said, which is what Octavia Butler was writing about in Parable of the Sower. So people are putting all three of those together saying, oh my God, it's a revelation. Mm-hmm. But she was talking about Reagan back then. You know, and
he was bad enough.
He was bad enough, but Donald Trump was worse.
So the relevancy is there. The relevancy is there.
Yeah, and then, and four, it's moving forward in time to a place that is including environmental destruction. Mm-hmm. It's including kind of capitalist idea of a capitalist dystopia.
Yeah.
Because I think what a lot of people are afraid of, a lot of people have in their head is 1984. I think a lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives, they remember 1984.
Mm-hmm.
What George Orwell was talking about was a takeover of a socialist takeover, a communist takeover, which is a completely different kind of world. Where the world, where the government says you must think a particular way.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of world that they're imagining, that they're scared. It's the bits and pieces of this thing that kind of attach to the gestalt, both the conservative, liberal media, but particularly I think for the conservatives to be so afraid of socialism and communism, and that this book really kind of brought it all home. They have a different fictional narrative, which is so close to where we are now. Octavia Butler should be taught in schools. And I can tell you, as a public school teacher, we can short shrift to the social studies, particular elementary level. All that is taken up by ELA and math. We try to teach ELA through nonfiction, but when you get to middle school and high school, you're definitely teaching to the test. So unless you're reading a book specifically, a narrative, which is very well told, you forget most of it. Because
okay,
it gets
garbled
up because of the test. Mm. Octavia Butler is a story that needs to be told now. And I feel like the Confederate story, while I'm not totally against it, this is a better story to tell.
Mm.
You have much more source material. Octavia Butler's museum is open to the public. And she has shit there that people have never even really seen.
Where's the museum located?
It's in California.
California.
It's in California.
Real quick. Hey, Mark, didn't Spike Lee do something called the Confederate States of America? Like an actual movie or something like that?
That's Spike Lee?
I remember hearing something about that, the Confederate States of America.
I'd have to
maybe
look
he
that
was
up.
Developing it.
I remember, and
I
I'm
don't
seeing
feel
clip,
like he put
I saw,
something else.
I saw actually clips of it was in the movies for a minute, the Confederate States of America.
Hmm.
I remember seeing clips of somebody trying to sell a black person on like the Home Shopping Network.
Ooh.
And it was literally like the Home Shopping Network. Instead of selling jewelry, they were selling black people.
Fuck.
And this is supposed to be a satire, right?
Okay, right.
CSA, the Confederate States of America, 2004,
yes.
Indie film.
Oh, okay.
It was an indie film, okay.
Grade A.
2004.
Fearless, brilliant, audacious, hilarious? So maybe a spoof.
Or a satire.
Or
I'm saying Confederate States of America. And I'm wondering if these two writers, because the two writers for the Confederate are black. There's a black woman and a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if they knew about Confederate States of America and decided to expand that idea with the series that HBO was like, let's pick this up.
I think it had to do more with the people, the showrunners for Game of Thrones. I think it was their idea, and they brought on these two other authors to make sure that they were doing due diligence.
Right,
because
right.
Because all four of these guys, people, they were all friends before they started writing.
Uh-huh.
And
you know, and the funny thing, just to offset that, Confederate is being produced by the showrunners of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. While George R. R. Martin is in talks with Dende Okorafor.
Yep.
For She Who Fears.
She Who Fears Death.
Who Fears Death.
Yeah.
Which is also post-apocalyptic fantasy. It's
right.
Apocalyptic fantasy, which is supposed to be also for HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Set in a futuristic Africa.
So I guess that means that
so that's a crazy.
Never going to finish Game of Thrones.
He might not.
Well,
but,
think about it like this. Does he have to?
I feel like he should. Because
he should, but he got food, got money.
You know, that's...
He's Tony Stark. So you don't have to finish shit.
Basically.
I got some people, friends, who are really pissed off at book 4 and 5, Game of Thrones, particularly book 4,
yeah.
Which is honestly for me was like it was an editing thing because that book was meant to be. He had written it with an actual story arc. They said, "Well, you know, it'd be cool. Let me divide this up by continents." And he fucked up the story arc. So this is what's happening. Westeros. This is what's happening. What's the other continent called?
Essos.
Essos
and Sothorios.
Yeah. So he divided it by what the action that was happening in each one. I'm sure there's some rewriting after that, but that's not. That hurt.
That's fun.
That hurt. I feel like he definitely lost something when he did that.
Well.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Moving on.
We have reached our nigga quota.
That's right. We are resetting the nigger clock. Only you can call in now and get the nigga timpani back up again.
Go ahead, Mark.
Wait.
No,
don't do that. Don't do that. All right. Speaking of women getting a hard time, let's talk about Doctor Who real quick.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
Because apparently, and you know, the funny thing is, like, somebody recently posted something about how you always hear about this outrage, but most reasonable people don't know these fools. Mm. I'm happy to say I don't know anyone who had a problem with Idris Elba being Heimdall or there being a black Hermione, or any of this other stuff.
I had a problem with him, though.
You had a problem with him?
The black him, though?
Yeah, it's too dark.
Anyway, so... Mark,
maybe it's only a lighter skin.
Stay with me. Stay with me, Mark. Because I actually kind of wanted you to...
You know what?
Take
chill.
Point on this.
This is chill much to make mine.
So, Mark, the Doctor Who controversy.
So, basically, during Wimbledon, a new trailer for the next Doctor, Peter Capaldi, is leaving.
Okay.
Stephen Moffat, who is also one of the creators and writers of the newer series, is also exiting stage left. Coincidentally, I believe he is going off to do a Dracula series.
Really?
For the BBC.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, shit.
They haven't said what century Dracula is supposed to be in yet.
Okay.
But this British actress who played on this very well critically acclaimed British show called Broadchurch, Jodie Whittaker, has been chosen as the new and the very first female Doctor Who.
Okay.
For whatever reason, the Twitterverse blew up and bitches started complaining. And I don't mean bitches in the literal, I mean like dudes acting like bitches about the fact that Doctor Who is supposed to be a man.
What's that they call him? Mitches?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to all my friends named Mitch, but.
But it was ridiculous because. You know, anytime we have a change in a character, I mean, I understand the affection you may have for a particular character, being a particular sex, race, whatever.
Right.
But after a certain point in time, you got to let it go. You know, time moves on, things change.
Yeah.
To have the first female actress play Doctor Who is, it's an amazing thing. And it's an amazing testament to the series.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see which direction the series goes now, what kind of stories they're going to be able to tell. You know, it just brought, it opens up the door. But I don't, you know, it's almost like after a while, I had to get to this point, in, even in my life, where you got to stop bitching about, one, first of all, shit you can't control. Two, it's a character. It's not an actual person. So you have to at least use some part of your brain to realize that, you know, you can't, after a while you can't be married to the same idea over and over again. I mean, at some point, for example, there have been talks about Idris Elba playing James Bond.
Right.
And the story now is that he's not going to be able to do it because he's playing Luther. He's re-upped to do Luther.
Oh, he's going to do Luther. Okay.
What do you think, Luther Vandross? You looked at me like, like I said.
I know Luther. No, motherfucker.
No, you know, you say, oh, he's playing Luther. Luther. You know,
I thought it was done. Like, I see all the seasons, man. I thought Luther was done. I didn't know it was coming back. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because you gave me this look like, what you talking about? Because
you're well-dressed. I'm still thinking about
you. You know what? We're not going. What? Where do, what show are we on now?
What show was it?
I don't know. I think I missed a couple of them, too. What you having that wine, man?
Hold on.
Yeah. Anywho.
We are all enclosed.
Yes. So, but it goes back to that whole... Like, this man over here. What's his
Maui?
Name? Steven. Yeah.
Wait. Start again.
Get Maui. Said about, you know, it just playing him doll.
Yes.
The situation with, the Hunger Games.
Oh, even my God. Turn,
you know, characters.
Yeah, Ruth, not, the yeah. Ruth character, yes.
And I think it's a little bit ridiculous now. We just, you know, I'm just anxious to see where they're going to go with the new season.
Well, you know, I feel like it's funny, too, because, like, all the whole of fanboydom that's complaining is the same part of fanboydom who, I guess, is they're so used to having shit all to themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not trying to be some kind of way about it, but the thing is, I can actually pull this back to something Kirk brought up a couple of weeks ago as far as movies in foreign markets go. Mm-hmm. And to circle back to Spider-Man for a minute,
right.
And, you know, we talked about how it was cool that it really, you know, from an... ethnicity standpoint, the movie really reflected Queens.
Right.
But think about how much better Spider-Man Homecoming is going to do in India,
mm-hmm.
is right. going to do in all these other countries
right.
because of this diverse cast.
I don't know about India, because that guy's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, but he's in the damn movie. It's wait, like...
Ned.
Oh, you know...
Ned.
Ned, okay.
Yeah. Well, movies like this, well, science fiction in general, particularly the Marvel movies,
mm-hmm.
movies that have a long following, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are basically our folklore, right?
Yes.
So these are, so the thing with folklore, particularly now with an audience that is so interactive,
mm-hmm.
right? Where no, the author at some point no longer really owns the character. It's owned by everybody who's involved with it. It's no longer just a simple template, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, even though it might start off as white, there's nothing about it, a lot of these characters, that is fundamentally, absolutely Caucasian-American, right? With the exception of Heimdall. I'll go with that. If anybody was bitching about Heimdall, you know what? So you know what? I liked him in the movie, but I can understand why you'd be pissed off about that. That's Norwegian culture. But, whatever. It's Idris Elba. But these are things that will change with the form of the people who are telling them. That's what folklore does.
Right.
That's what comic books do, quite frankly. They're the new folklore. We're not telling them to our children, you know, at night around the fire. We're watching the same movies now, right? Or what? Showing them to our kids comic books.
Mm-hmm.
This is the new mythos that we're talking about. So for them to get bitchy about oh, well, now it's a woman. It's like, well, you know, now it's a woman. Maybe later on it'll be a man again. Next time I'd be an Indian person. There was an Indian Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So, like, for them to get that angry about that, it's like, look, I mean, I can kind of understand the possibility of you being concerned with your narrative about what America is, you know, changing to include others that are not yours. And kind of being afraid that now your story is no longer being told. Well, yeah, your story isn't. That story is no longer going to be told. We have anything to say about it. This is going to be a bigger story that includes a lot more people if we're doing our jobs right. Otherwise, yeah, you know, you're not gonna, it's not gonna be a bro anymore. Maybe I'll go back to being a bro at some point, but it won't be a bro in the same way where your parents, you or your parents, your grandparents, remember the bros.
They ain't gonna be Tom Baker no more.
No, even if it is, it'll be a shared responsibility, particularly with the doctors, because how long is that the doctor been around?
Yeah, that's so,
the doctor's been around since the 60s.
Yeah,
right.
This is the 13th incarnation of the doctor. Mm-hmm. And the doctor had gone away for a while. There was a time period where it wasn't on anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then it picked up. Eccleston came back and picked it up because it was on the Sci-Fi Channel for a hot minute.
Yeah.
It's
no longer on the Sci-Fi Channel?
Hmm?
It's no longer on the Sci-Fi Channel?
No, no. It hasn't been on BBC. BBC America.
Yeah.
So, so it's been, I mean, you know, this has been a British TV show.
Yeah,
for
long ass
for
time.
Very long time.
Like I remember as a little kid getting up. I want to say that was Sunday morning.
Yeah, PBS.
Yeah.
And
like,
watching
Tom Baker.
Early. That's like first thing I did.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
I remember that. Actually, I remember seeing they're talking about the Peter Cushing.
Yeah, he got in a movie. Yeah, mm-hmm. But most people don't even consider that.
Yeah, I never
canon.
Saw
that's
that.
That's I can't
write.
It's
yeah.
But I mean, this has become a thing now, and the other I guess the other side of this coin is the change because we're changing with the times, or is it because people are feeling that it must be changed?
Well, what's the difference?
Must be change is forced change. It's not a change. It's not a natural change. It's not a natural progression.
There's no such thing as natural change.
But what I'm saying is this. Do you necessarily need a black Spider-Man?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you.
No. But no. My thing is that
at this age?
Because comic book heroes.
Yes.
In their own way, through their powers, mm-hmm. are sexless, colorless,
universal.
They're universal.
Right.
They speak to their purpose mm-hmm. speaks to something much higher than what we consider to be trivial.
Right.
So does it necessarily have to? I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Okay.
But does it necessarily mean that because you feel? Oh, well, you know, are we changing the character because when I say a natural progression because we're changing with the times, are we doing it because this group of people over here are not being serviced, so we must...
I mean, it's
I don't see the difference.
I mean, for me, it's twofold. I mean, one, you know, because you're talking about particularly with comics now, because now comics are much more part of pop culture, and pop culture means money. So mm-hmm. they take this film we're talking about. Really, the films we're talking about, you're marketing it out
right.
to the world. Mm-hmm. So things like China has to be taken into account.
Absolutely.
You know, what they want to see and what they don't want to see has to be taken into account. So that automatically, that's changing the calculus. But if we're talking about, I'll keep on saying this again and again. I think comic book characters are the new mythos. Like even gods like Thor. Now they're science-based, right? We're not going all the way back trying to figure out what Thor was like when he was telling that story, you know, 1,000 years ago. Talking about people who know Thor now, they don't know, most of them don't know the mythos, they know Thor the god from the movies or maybe from the comic books.
Right.
So that has to be, the folklore always has to be placed in the people who are telling the story.
But you're talking about, but when you say that, you're talking about what people are aware of now. We grew up, or my cousin, I grew up on the Hulk, because
mm-hmm.
my cousin had those, comic books really, I mean, going all the way back to Action Comics. comic books, comic strips have been about that mythos, that side of the mythos has been around for at least 50-something years.
But that mythos always changes.
But the thing is because the media has changed. Because until 1978, when that Superman movie burst out onto the screen,
right.
I mean, yeah, people had Superman comic books, but nobody had a Superman thermos, nobody had Superman sheets, nobody had Superman underoos, and now
the marketing,
it's more the marketing than anything else, because really what we're looking at is we want this selected group of people to buy into this product, even if, because most people now know the Marvel Universe through the films, not through the comics.
Agreed.
And the people who get mad are the people who grew up. For example, I grew up on the Phoenix Saga, so I know what the Phoenix Saga is. What we're going to get if somebody was to take this Phoenix Saga seriously and do it is not going to be the way that I grew up on it, because they're not marketing it to me.
Well, that's right.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they got to make it palatable to the millennials.
Right. Well, here's what I'll say to that. Where did the original Cinderella come from?
Cinderella was Grimm's fairy tale.
Cinderella was Chinese first. It was Chinese first, and it moved its way into what is now Europe. It had to take a lot of steps to get there, but it was originally a Chinese folklore.
Mm-hmm.
So as it was making its way here, it changed because of the people who were telling the story. The people in the United States right now who are in control telling the stories in Marvel, if you look at the bylines for the writers and artists, they're not all white people anymore. A lot of Hispanic people in there. A lot of Asian people in there.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who are telling the story, they are now a little more... Also, they're in New York City. So New York City is a lot more reflective of the general growth of America, the new American story.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're telling the story and they decide they want to focus on a wider audience, and also happens to be in line with the capitalist agenda. Like, Miles Morales sells. That's the reason why Miles survived the Ultimates crunch. When the Ultimates universe was killed, Miles Morales survived because his book was still selling. Right now, for me, the only Marvel books that I pick up are Miles Morales' Spider-Man, the new female Thor, the Ultimates 2, which has a multi-dimensional, multi-ethnic, multi-gender cast.
Ultimates
2.
Ultimates, yes.
It's fucking amazing. Great storytelling along with people, and I'll say there's not a single white male character who isn't one of part of that team right now. If I were white and I grew up in a certain perspective, I might feel a certain way about that.
So, but kind of like this sounds like pretty much the backlash that older whites never told their kids about what's gonna happen. That's happening. You're like, you gotta protect our kids. Let's not tell them about the fucked up shit we did to these niggas.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right? And because the thing is, it's not just slavery, mm-hmm. right? It's so many more. Image. It's Jim Crow. It's Jim Crow.
It's
yes.
The crack epidemic.
Yes. It's
we
a
haven't
lot of
recovered
it.
From that.
From that. All right. And shit, not to mention, so that's even just a small, and that's a part of what we're talking about in terms of media representation.
Right.
Right? This mm-hmm. idea that, you know, we're still scary looking, even though I'm the goofiest motherfucker around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say that part of that.
But with the entire idea of, you know, changing race and gender of your special heroes and stuff. I think a part of it is it's kind of like was bound to happen.
Look, right. it all ties in. It's the same reason you can't have a country with universal health care that was brought to you by a black dude, yet and still preserve racism.
Right. Mm-hmm. You can't
do that. That's fucking empirically impossible.
Right.
Because dude's gonna walk out of chemo and be like, wait a minute. I guess I better put this Confederate flag away because I'm a fucking hypocrite.
Right. But then they'll still do it.
Which is a beautiful moment when that happens.
If it'll ever happen.
If it's allowed to happen.
Right. Because remember, they just still calling it Obamacare, not the Affordable Health Care Act.
Right. Well, part of it's happening because when you realize
how much sabotage they pulled off.
Well, that's the I guess the dark comedy behind it is when you keep screaming, You know, I'm all for the Affordable Care Act. Get rid of Obamacare. No, that is the Affordable Care Act. And then you're like, wait, what? And it's the thing that they're trying to take from you is that's exactly what you have. Well, wait. Well, no, I got to get with you because we got to stop this from, you know.
You know, I mean, I'm a public school teacher, and I work with people who are certainly more than I thought, people who were for Trump. Now, you are unionized in New York City, and you are still pro-Trump. It has more to do with culture and coming from a culture that is automatically Republican. You're automatically Republican. Mm-hmm. It's like religion. The same thing with Democrats, like religion. Yeah. Like you gotta. It takes a lot to cross that line. I think it's easier if I'm friends with Democrats because it's a bigger tent. But if you are a Republican, there's a reason why you're identifying with that, and all about quite that certainly does have to do with race. But we're talking. But if you connect that with the stories that we're talking about telling now, mm-hmm. with Thor or with Miles Morales, the new Spider-Man, that this is a sea change that is scary. They were told, people of that particular political persuasion were told, the last election was the last election you could win primarily with the white vote. They said, well, fuck you guys. We're going to prove you wrong. There are a lot of different ways to get to a Donald Trump vote.
Fear-mongering.
Yep, fear-mongering. But there are a lot of ways. I mean, a fear-mongering along with a hate for Hillary Clinton, and that takes too long to get into that in the next 4 minutes that we have. But, you know, it's the storytelling is paramount. Storytelling that, for what is considered now the new media, the new middle, which is including African American, mm-hmm. Hispanic, mm-hmm. Indian, mm-hmm. everyone mm-hmm. else in there, at least in the periphery. If you're a liberal, Democratic, you are automatically doing something very dangerous, which is you are including the other. You're trying to include the other into this American story, and that is a certain mindset that is viral to try and infecting something that from their childhood. Was pure, that they hold on to that. And the story shouldn't change either. The country shouldn't change either. And it's dangerous.
Dude, I got into it with somebody because they got upset that Lawrence Fishburne got cast as Perry White.
For fucking
sake. Right.
And I went into this whole thing about how, well, you do realize a lot of black folks go see the movies. I didn't even get into anything too deep. I made it about business.
Okay.
So just a simple fact. We go to the movies a lot.
Yes.
Probably more so than any other ethnic group, probably because we need the escapism to get away from this shit that's happening out here.
Right.
Now, we, as that movie-going public, want to see ourselves reflected back at us. Mm-hmm. We're actually very much into that. We've actually complained about that ad nauseum had you been listening.
Yes.
So... You know, and I told homeboy flat out, I don't really appreciate the whole, so what's his middle name, Ain't jokes and all, because his name's Perry White, so his middle name's supposed to be Ain't, as in Perry Ain't White.
I know who this guy is.
What?
I think you do. And so we got into it, whatever, and it was just like, yeah, no, I mean, I'm still mad. It's like, well, you know what?
Fuck you, man.
Y'all gonna be mad. Because it's, ultimately, multiculturalism is better for business.
Yes.
And it is better for the world, and it's better for this long-term survival of these iconic characters.
It's inevitable. You are fighting against a tie where...
Don't say that. They're still fighting the Civil War.
No,
They're still fighting the Civil War,
man. They're still reenacting it.
Just to give the example of Doctor Strange, they made changes because... The Chinese, they were afraid that the Chinese would reject it.
Yeah, it did.
There is an inevitability to them saying, we want to make money. We are capitalists more than we are Democrats, more than we are liberals. We want to make that money, that international market, and make that overhead because this movie costs a fucking lot of money.
Talk about the Tibetan.
AKA the same reason Richard Gere can't fucking buy a subway token out there. But we are pretty much out of time.
Oh, shit.
Right?
Damn. We got a good game.
Thank you,
everything.
Seriously,
yeah.
For being here. This was a great conversation.
No, this is a lot of fun.
Fellas, we should, real quick, your social media.
Oh, yes. Kirk Johnson on Facebook, and Kirk Johnson at Arntora on Twitter. Was it Twitter at Arntora? I'm on Twitter too, man. Kirk Johnson at Ontour, A-R-N-T-O-U-R-A. I'm on Twitter. Also, come check out twoandsfarfield.com. That is my blog site. We'll do blogs. I haven't done them for about a year, but, you know, come say holla.
You haven't done it for a year.
Come holla at a brother. Let him know, you know.
All right. You can find me both on Facebook and Twitter at Who is Mark Abbott. You can also go to my website, whoismarklabbott.com. You'll find all of my short stories, short films, and other projects that I'm working on.
And also the snitches.
And I host a monthly storytelling open mic at the Precious Metal.
Precious Metal.
In Bushwick. That's the third Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock. So come on down and check it out.
Oh, me?
No. You're the guest. You'll go last. Stephen Van Patten, laughingblackvampire.com is where you'll find me, my novels that I've written, Reporter's Curse Volumes 1, 2, and 3, and Killer Genius, She Kills Because She Cares. I'm on Facebook, Twitter at SVP Thinks, Instagram SVP Thinks, and Cam, you're up.
So my pen name is Rob Kamrick. Looking for my website, it's rob-cameron.com. I'm on Twitter at cpr.words. But if you're looking for me, I prefer that you guys look for my Kickstarter. So you go to the Kickstarter website, look for KaleidoCast, KaleidoCast. If you want to support beautiful, amazing, scary, juicy stories, please go there and you'll get some amazing prizes.
And that was great. First and foremost, before we go, gotta encourage everybody to check us out on our collective Facebook page, the Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans Facebook page.
BWS!
So, Kirk, do me a favor,
yes.
Post the map that you were talking about so
yes,
folks can
I will.
Follow at home
yes,
when they listen to this.
I shall, yes.
Thank you. Good idea. If I do say so myself.
Gang signs? What is that?
He's doing the Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans game.
Oh,
sign.
Shit.
I think that's what he's doing. Either that or he just talked about he wants to go home.
Shit's 12-8.
It sure is. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're a little over time. We are up way past our bedtimes. Well, maybe Kirk's. So we're going to sign off.
His girl's out another state. He's on parole.
Time to see him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He about to go. I know where you're going.
Where am I going, Bobby?
You're going. I don't know, but it's on Atlantic and Troy.
Oh, shit. All right.
You're welcome.
What?
Oh, what? Bring a bullshit. Wow, there's a little spot on the corner.
Shit, I might go too. But anyway, that's going to do it for us.
Wow.
So, for Cam,
hello,
Mark, Kirk, Lola, who's crawling around here someplace, and myself, we bid you a fond Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans adieu.
And rum.
Peace! Thank you!